Now, before we open the Word of God, we're going to pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we would just give thanks for why we've come tonight to share in the gospel, and we would just give thanks for each one that has come along, and we would just pray that there would be blessing and salvation. And just as we've prayed before the meeting, we would just pray that this would be a time where there would be no distractions, and we just pray that each one would be able to listen attentively, and the end result being salvation. And so we would just ask for the help here tonight, giving thanks in his name. Amen. Now, I was asked to announce next weekend there's a Bible conference in Bluefield, and there's a gospel meeting there. It's at 6:30, I think, on Sunday night. But I was asked to announce that there will still be a gospel meeting here at 7 o'clock next Sunday. Now, we're going to read in John chapter 19. I think I can get away without putting on this, can I, Mark? Yeah, I won't move around much, so we'll just go with the mic. So John 19. Now, so as not to shock you, I am going to read this verse a little bit different, so you can just bear with me. I'm not going to add any new words, so you don't need to worry or switch the order. But this is the way that it's been coming to me in the last number of weeks. And one thing that my father that always encouraged me to do, he said, if you can pick one verse when you get up for a gospel meeting, he didn't limit it to that, but he said it's sometimes nice to pick one verse, put a lot of thought into it, and share it that way rather than a lot of different verses. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. We're just going to read the one verse and share some thoughts from it. So John 19. And verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it. And I'm going to stop there. We are going to continue to read the verse as we go through, but I'm going to stop right there. And I know in the original this is one word, but I'm glad actually that in our language, in this that we have in our hands tonight, it's written the way that it is. He said, it. Now, something that has struck me a lot in the last little while is the lack of satisfaction in the world. Maybe tonight you are aware of that. And maybe you can look around, you can see that there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the world. People are not content. I'd say more so now than maybe even 5 years ago. Nothing seems to make people happy. Maybe you think that money is what's going to satisfy you, and so that's what you're working towards. And I had this conversation with somebody quite young. They had in their mind they wanted to achieve a certain thing, and they thought that was going to bring happiness. And I said, no, it won't. Because when you get to that thing, you're going to want to move on to something else. And I know of, just in the last little while, I know people in the sports world, and they poured everything into it. One man in particular, he's, I think, 25 years old. His own family, they're all involved very much so in the sport. And his goal was to achieve first place at world championships in his sport. And so in his mind, he said that it was going to be a long process. It was going to probably take 5-6 years of intense training and racing, and he would finally achieve that place. Well, unknown to him, I think it was his maybe second attempt at the world championships, he won. Well, that's you'd think a great thing, isn't it? Well, do you know what happened? He went into the depths of depression and despair after, and do you know why? Because he felt completely empty. Because what he thought was going to be a long process to achieve what he wanted in life, he actually reached it in a very short amount of time, and now he had no idea what to do next. Didn't bring him happiness. So tonight, I don't know what your goal is in life. Whatever it is you think that is going to satisfy you, what I'm here to tell you tonight is that whatever you have on your mind, if it does not involve God, it is not going to bring you satisfaction. I can guarantee you that. Everything that people go in for, that involves anything other than what God has in mind for you is not going to bring you satisfaction. It might bring you little moments along the way where you think, finally. And it's not going to be very long, and you're going to realize that you're not happy. The verse that we've read a part of and that we're going to discuss tonight is the only place. I will say this, it's the only place that God finds satisfaction. And it's a place tonight where you're going to find actual, real satisfaction and happiness. So tonight, if you're not happy, I hope you're listening. If you just feel, I'm not content, I hope you're listening, because this verse has it all. There's only three words, really, that I want to focus on from this verse. That's not a lot, really. But there are three words tonight that you need to listen to. I've been told before that I sometimes talk a lot. I don't know whether that's true or not. Whenever I get going, probably, yeah, it's hard to stop. Well, I think most people that probably listen to me have a conversation. They don't listen to everything that I have to say. They don't listen to every word. They probably zone out after a while. Sure, that happens. I see some smiles, people that talk to me on a regular basis and probably don't listen to everything. But there's three words tonight, and because of who it is that's speaking them, it makes all the difference in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one that is speaking these words. So even though I only read one of the words that he spoke so far, it. I don't know what happened at the cross. It was probably silent for a while. There might have been some commotion, other noises going on. I would like to think that whenever the Lord Jesus broke the silence and he said, it, that everything stopped. And people understood, this is the one who has healed people. This is the one who has come from God. This is God's voice speaking. I'd like to think that was the case, but I'm not sure that it was. Do you know something? You have heard a lot of words from God over the years, over the weeks and months that you've come to gospel meetings. You have heard a lot of God's words. And how much impact has it had on you? I have no doubt that there were words that were read from the Bible. And as they were read and spoken from, they were God's words. You were talking to someone beside you. While God's word was spoken, you were thinking about what you were going to do tomorrow. You didn't place a whole lot of importance, really, on what God had to say. Well, tonight, please listen to what the Lord Jesus has said from this verse. He opened it up with it. Just what I want to bring out from that, whenever he said it, there was substance behind it. There's a huge, massive, whenever he said it, there's a huge, massive subject that he was referring to. The first thing that I want to just bring in is that he was speaking about something from the past, a very dark past. Whenever he began these words and he said it, he was thinking all the way back to the beginning. He was thinking about every single person who has fallen into sin. He was thinking back to the time whenever a perfect beginning was made. Man and a woman, Adam and Eve, they were put into a garden. They had a perfect connection, perfect relationship with God. And because of deception that came in, and men and woman deciding to go away from what God's pathway and his plan was for them, sin was brought in. He was referring back to every single person from that moment on that was plunged into sin. Whenever the Lord Jesus said it, he was thinking back and he was thinking ahead to the massive problem that man's sin has caused. You know, whenever you watch the news or you listen to the news, you are going to hear a lot of problems. They're going to talk about wars that have started. They're going to talk about threats. They're going to talk about the economy. They're going to talk about politics. They're going to talk about all kinds of problems, fuel prices, tons of things, global warming. Lots of things that people think are problems. Do you know something that you are never, ever going to hear on the news? And it's the biggest problem that there actually is. And everything else that has stemmed from it, these are all symptoms, really, that you're hearing on the radio or watching on the news. They're all a result of the one problem that everybody is ignoring. And I actually have the solution to it. Now, I'm not going to probably get much airtime if I go on and I tell them what the problem is and what the solution is. But the actual problem is sin. And that is something that everybody wants to ignore. They want to ignore the real problem. How about you tonight? Do you want to ignore the real problem? I don't know what problems you think you have. Maybe I can't make any friends, and I have problems at school, and I have problems at work. I have problems with money. I have all kinds of problems, but the real problem is not that, actually. The real problem is sin. That nobody wants to acknowledge. You know what I found really interesting today? I was just jotting down a few notes in my phone, just thinking about the meeting. And every single time that I went to put in sin or sinner, I spelled it perfectly. And when I put in sin, it auto-corrected to S-U-N, sun. Whenever I put in sinner, it actually auto-corrected to summer. I had to do that 3 times before it actually accepted what I was writing in. Do you know why? Because the real problem that people think they have is not sin. It's actually a problem they want to ignore, to the point that even my phone, it's auto-correcting to something completely different. Because we want to ignore the real problem of sin. And as a result of sin, death has been brought in. Sin tonight is leaving you completely exposed to God's eyes tonight. I don't know what you're hiding behind. I don't know where you find comfort, where you find shelter. Maybe you're finding comfort tonight sitting in the gospel meeting. Maybe you find comfort whenever you go home and you read your Bible and you say a little prayer because you believe that that's getting closer to God. Well, I'm glad you're doing those things. But listen, if you are not saved, if you have never had your sin, if you have never had your problem dealt with, you are still fully exposed. God is looking at you. He sees right through the whole thing. God knows all about your sin. Not only are you exposed to God's sight, God can see you. You are completely exposed to God's wrath. There is a day coming whenever your sin is going to be dealt with. If you don't want to deal with it tonight, your sin will be dealt with. The Lord Jesus, when he said it, he was looking back and looking forward, and he's referring to this massive subject of sin. You would think as well, after all these years, that men would get better, that the problem would get better, that we'd improve. It's actually gone the complete opposite, to the point where we've completely deteriorated. The things that God has called good, we call bad, and the things that God calls bad, we've called good. That's the way the world is. It's a massive problem. When the Lord Jesus said this word, it, he's referring to the payment that you owe. You know, none of us like to have debt. I don't. None of us like to owe anything. We all look forward to the day whenever, if we owe a bill, we have it paid off. We don't have to deal with it anymore. The Lord Jesus, when he began this cry and he said it, he was thinking about the payment that you owe. He was thinking about the debt that every single day is accumulating. Maybe you have in your mind tonight that this problem of sin, if I keep coming to the gospel meeting, my debt's getting smaller. If I read every now and again, my debt is getting smaller. That is what I owe to God. Every time I do something good, my debt gets smaller. If you have never had your sin dealt with the way that the Word of God lays it out, If you have never had your sins forgiven and you have never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, every day that goes by where you ignore his invitation, every sin that you commit, every invitation from him that you reject, your debt is actually getting bigger. Actually, I'll say this, there's never been a point in life where your debt has gone down, maybe back up, down, back up. It has never gone that way. It's actually progressively worse every day that goes by. The Lord Jesus, as he's hanging on the cross, he's thinking about the massive debt that you owe. He was thinking about the purposes of God. Maybe you don't realize tonight, but God wants you with him. That's God's desire. And the Lord Jesus, he's referring to God's desire. He's referring to God's desire to have you with him. God's desire to have that debt taken away. God's desire to have the wrath taken away. Just keep this one word in mind. It. We're going to keep reading the verse. He says, it is. This is where I would love to think that people in that day, they heard him say, it. We know that this wasn't the case, but if they were to think about this massive subject of sin, God's desire, and what was needed, the Lord Jesus was referring to. And he says, it is. You would think that everybody would be just sitting on the edge of their seats. It is what? A few weeks ago, I know a lot of people, some maybe spent into the early hours of the morning wondering a subject that was in the news, it, and they, it is, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting to see what the result was going to be, right? The election. It is, and they waited, and then the answer came. There was probably some shaking of the head and wondering why and all the rest. People not happy. It wouldn't matter which way it went. There'd be somebody not happy. It didn't take God by surprise. He wasn't waiting and waiting for the result, but people were. And it doesn't matter what subject it is or what event it is. There's an it. There's the subject matter. And there's a status, right? It is. We've heard about the massive topic of sin and what the consequences are and what God wants. And he says, it is. Well, it is what? Was he saying it is partially done? Was he saying it is complete as far as what I have to do goes, and now you have to do your part? Was he saying it's almost done? Was he saying it is impossible? It can't be done? Because it was a big problem. Probably not, because you're so familiar with the gospel. This maybe is having no impact on you whatsoever. I would like to think whenever you're thinking of the Lord Jesus and he's speaking, it's this massive problem of sin, the problem that I have, the problem that you have. We know that there was a work taking place on the cross. And he says these words, it is. I would like to know if there's anyone here, don't speak out, but if there's anyone here who doesn't know how the verse finishes. You're saying, well, I want this problem dealt with. I want my sin taken away. And I know the Lord Jesus, you're telling me he was there to do a work. You're telling me he did something. And I want to know what the result is. It is what? Is there anything for me to do? How long do I have to wait? What's the answer going to be? Here it is. This is what the Lord Jesus says. He said, it is. And people hanging on the edge of the, and sitting right there, hanging just on every word. And he says, it is finished. There were people in that day, and there are people here tonight who have appreciated what that means. And it brings this massive relief to them to know that the work to take away my sin, the work to ensure that I'm going to be in heaven at the end of life, it is completely done. He wasn't saying it is impossible. He wasn't saying it is done as far as what I have to do goes, and now you have to do your part. He's saying it is completely and utterly done. What God requires, there was a substitute needed, there was a debt that needed to be paid, there was a work that needed to be done, and tonight, guess what? The Lord Jesus has done every single bit of it. This actually is the most important moment. That's what I would say, at least, based on the Word of God, the most important moment in human history. Everything hinged on this. Nobody would be in heaven apart from this. There would be nothing for anyone if it wasn't for this work that the Lord Jesus came to do. More importantly than that, there would be absolutely nothing to satisfy God. And that's what matters most. The unfortunate reality and the sad truth is that tonight there are people who have seen this, who have heard of it, who've heard it spoken on a lot better than I've spoken on it tonight, and they can quote the verse, and they have never, ever commended the good of it. The Lord Jesus couldn't have said it any clearer that it's finished. You don't have to do anything. He's actually the only one that could satisfy God, and there are people, millions of them, in the world. Do you know what they think it means? They think it means that he's done his part and now I have to do my part and I have to spend my life working and working and working to try and please God in some way. The verse says it's finished. The Lord Jesus has completed everything. So where does that leave me? Well, whenever we build a home, a good day is whenever we finish things off, we take the keys and we give them to the owner. And what do? Whenever we say, essentially, we say, it's done. And they say, thank you. Most of them. They come into the house and they enjoy it. Whenever we're at home and a meal is started, and we hear the words, it's ready. What do? You come. You enjoy it. That is exactly what God wants from you. Whenever the Lord Jesus said it's finished, he was saying the work to take you to heaven, the work to take care of all of your sin, the work to get rid of the debt that you owe. He was saying, it's done. It's ready. Come. Well, how do you come? What he simply wants you to do is just by faith, just to believe him, just to rest. By faith, rest on what he is telling you. One thing I'm glad of is who it was that spoke the words. It was the Lord Jesus himself, God himself. And so we can fully rely on what he has had to say when he said, it is finished.